Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. This is Pacific Watch with Jeff Bliss. He is Pacific Watch. And we go to the reopening of California. We've celebrated the Lego Park. We've talked about Disney and Jeff's either yodeler Jeff Bliss or engineer Jeff Bliss. But right now, what we need is Mask Man Jeff Bliss. June 15th is said to be an important date. But what does it mean, Jeff? What does this mean for all of the Californians who've been vaccinated or who have not been?
Here's what it looks like for much of the state. It looks like we're going to be losing the mask requirements in many places or all places, and we're going to be losing the 6-foot distancing that is required. And on top of that, it's going to open up these big public facilities for use, such as ballparks and concert facilities. So there's a lot of excitement about that. But I would say the number one thing everybody talks about is getting rid of these darn masks.
The Disney World and all of the other parks, there's a suggestion here that they only want vaccinated patrons to come. How are they going to check that, Jeff? You don't have a California have been vaccinated card, do you?
We don't, although when you go through the processing, like you do in many other states, they do keep a record of it and they write it down for you. You're not mandated to carry it or show it anywhere. But there have been some places where they've said, look, we're not going to sell a ticket to a concert. For example, the Foo Fighters, which are a big name rock band, they put a show on notice today that they'll be performing next week in the LA, sort of LA area. And they said, in order to buy tickets, you have to show proof. And when you attend the concert, you have to show proof. There's those sporadic things here and there, spots here and there. But right now, there's no push for everybody carrying around an ID or some sort of record of it. A number of people do, just out of, you know, just so they have it on them, but it's not being asked for anywhere that I know of.
The reopening. This is the AP reporting on Gavin Newsom. Sacramento, dateline within these last hours. Governor Gavin Newsom said he's confident the state's workplace regulators will soon fall in line with California's plan to drop virtually all masking and social distancing requirements next week for people who are vaccinated. The California Occupational Safety and Health Standards Board set to consider revising its conflicting rules Thursday. That was some days hence from now, 2 days after the state more broadly eases its pandemic. So, Jeff, here's what I get from the AP. June 15th comes. It's a magical day. But the California Occupational Safety and Health Standards Board the next day, or maybe 2 days, 2 days later, will consider the rules for going back to the workplace. In other words, the clarity is that we're not going to have clarity for some days.
That's true. I've seen that come up against it myself in various places where they've said, you know, for instance, there are some places where the union's very strong and they're pushing for either a hybrid model of returning to work, like half the people there, half of them working from home, or making it mandatory for everybody to show proof of a vaccination if they're going to work there and they still have to wear masks. But those are here and there. What you're seeing, though, is in a lot of the private businesses, they're saying, we're done with that. We're not going to do that. But Cal OSHA and Sacramento, I should say, they're getting a lot of pressure from the unions to keep this going. And so that's obviously one of the reasons why Gavin Newsom has been back and forth inconsistent on this. So we'll see what happens with it going forward. There is a concern, though, that if this news of the variants, of various variants start hitting California and we see the numbers going up, then all bets are off and we can go back to masks and social distancing.
Let's move from the reopening to the story of Venice Beach. I follow this as carefully as I can, given that it's quite fantastic. Venice Beach is right now burdened by a large homeless camp stretching along the boardwalk. and on the beach, if I understand correctly. This is a very pricey part of a very pricey state, right, Jeff? Venice Beach. But
yes,
the people who live there have no defense right now from the homeless. I've seen pictures of patrols, police patrols, who just walk by because what can they do? The camp is spread all over the place, and they're not to be dislodged. There is a city councilman, Mike Bonin, is that his name?
And he Mike Bonin.
Mike Bonin. He says he has a remedy. What is it?
Well, his remedy has been to take a measured, careful, step-by-step approach to move people kind of one at a time in a way, or at least from one section at a time, starting at the north end of Venice Beach and then moving these encampments out. But you still have a lot of people who live in that area, who live along the boardwalk area and in the neighborhoods nearby, who are saying, we can't wait that long. We've already waited long enough. The crime has gotten worse daily, sometimes hourly. And you've been promising to fix this for years, not just the past couple weeks. So let's get this all taken care of at once rather than now. But Bonin also says, you know, we've got these hotels lined up that we've taken over for homeless housing. We have some other low-cost housing we'll be able to move people into. But it's a very, you know, it's very here and there, hit and miss approach. And it's not going to really make a dent. Plus, it doesn't address some of the root causes of the homeless. It doesn't address the mental health issues. It doesn't address the drug abuse, the substance abuse. And it doesn't address, you know, a host of other related issues that aren't not going to be taken care of but just by putting people, shoving them back into a cheap hotel.
If I understand correctly, Mike Bonner starts with a handball court and moves on to the basketball court. Now, he's talking about something I can't quite picture. What is he talking about?
What do you mean when he's talking about the handball court?
Yeah, what does that mean? We did well with the handball court. What's he talking about?
So along the beach, there are several different recreation areas. There's a skate park, there's a basketball courts area, and there's a handball courts area. Handball courts used to be very popular for, you know, people who live there in Venice to come and play handball, just like they are in New York and other cities. But they became a convenient place for them to put up their lean-tos and their encampments because the handball walls would shelter them from the winds coming up off the ocean and the sand. So they built up a rather large encampment. Plus, they could put their tents there and not worry about them getting trashed in the sand. And so over time, this encampment has grown and moved the people out of a key recreation area. So what he's saying is, you know, we're going to reclaim that, and then we're going to reclaim this and that one thing at a time. And, you know, maybe that's what all he has in terms of what he thinks of his resources. But we know the L.A. County Sheriff, Villanueva, who it's not even his jurisdiction, but he's saying, look, we've got to protect the people who live down here. This is their property. These are their lives. You folks aren't looking out for them. We're going to take care of it.
Before we move to the big story, which is the earthquake, that hasn't happened yet. Last week, Jeff, you brought to my attention that the people of San Diego are puzzled about window-rattling booms that have happened more than once. Not UFO. The logical explanation is there's a lot of military aircraft in California. This sounds like people breaking the sound barrier, but I thought that there are prohibitions against that, Jeff.
Well, for the most part, there are. And, of course, it depends. You know, they don't want them doing it overland if they can help it. Down in the San Diego area, there's a major naval air base, the Miramar Air Base. And other, you know, there are other flight areas around that. And so what happens is they go off the coast about 30 miles to a training area, and sometimes they break supersonic speeds there. Now, in this case, it was estimated this was caused by aircraft moving at more than 1,200 miles an hour. So that's pretty fast. It did raise a lot of eyebrows because, you know, you've seen these stories about UFO tapes, about the Navy, you know, photographing UFOs in areas not far from here. So people automatically went to that. But the Marine Corps, Navy came out today and said, no, this was us training. We don't know which plane it was, but it was us, and we're sorry if we rattled your windows or your nerves.
Earthquakes. Jeff reminds me that I was in the Northridge quake of 1994, Martin Luther King Day, 1994. I do not remember, and I certainly didn't participate in the 1989 quake, although I watched it. It was the World Series quake, Loma Prieta quake. However, there is fresh warning. It has been decades since a quake, and California is lagging behind Japan and Mexico for early warning systems. You're in L.A., Jeff. That means you're a target of whatever earthquake is coming sometime in the next year, 5 years, 10 years. Do you have a warning system in L.A. that is satisfactory? Will you know if the quake is coming?
I don't want to say it's satisfactory, but they're working on, for example, an app that has shown some promise. The last time we had a sizable earthquake, for the people that did have the app, did seem to get some kind of warning. Of course, what they want to do is provide as much time as they can for people to get out of structures or move to safe areas. This has been a dream of people in California, actually throughout the Pacific Rim, for the better part of a century, finding ways to warn people ahead of time, lessen not only, the injury and the death rate, but all, you know, to lessen that, but also to find ways to protect property if they can. But yeah, there's a lot of effort going into warning people on quakes, whether it's sensors that are put out in the fault areas or using satellite information. There's a whole industry around early warning system.
The statement here is that you're overdue for a quake. Now, there's never a good time for an earthquake, but California, especially Los Angeles, to my reading, has done a great deal to prepare because you have building codes and wisdom about where you put buildings that have secured a lot of the high rises in LA. Most recently, we had some earthquake activity, I believe, in the southern part of the state, Jeff. You taught me this about Indio. Was that the name of the town? Or Indio, California.
Yes.
And that did not cause a great deal of damage. Is that because people are prepared or because it's a sparse area of California?
In that case, it's because it's a sparse area. It's out there in the desert. It's not far from, for example, Palm Springs. But when you go to Palm Springs, you're not really seeing high rises out there. Most of the homes out in that area are lower to the ground. You know, one story, there's a few two stories here and there, a few hotels that are taller than that. But most of those have been built since the stricter seismic codes came into being. And so they tend to ride those things out. But the bigger concern is for these areas along the coast, up in the Bay Area, along the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo area, into L.A., down through Orange County. Those are all on key fault lines, all different fault lines, and some of them are more primed to go off than others. But that's what we hear about often. You often hear about the San Andreas fault, which is the big one, the mother of them all. But it's the other ones like the Newport fault zone that are going to cause problems when that goes, because you've got a whole area that is densely populated. And even though we have homes and businesses and buildings that have been brought up to code over the years, there's still no match when you're talking for something that moves into the 7, 8 or not 9 range, but 7 or 8, then you're going to have wholesale damage.
So let me summarize, if I can, for a person who doesn't know California except for the few months that I've been there. We've got a heat wave that could go to 120 degrees. We have a drought that is threatening an elk population along with the people population. We have concerns about brownouts all summer because though that drought will press everyone with air conditioning, and that will cause trouble for PG&E. In addition, we worry about PG&E and its lines through the forest to start fires, rolling fires in a drought, in a heat wave. All of that added up, but the masks are off on June 15th. We're back to Disney World, and Jeff, I'm not going to mention the earthquake, okay? I'm just going to leave it out. Jeff Bliss, he is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.